Kama, Spirit of Elijah, turns us back. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride, say come, come on. That at the near, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. Never fear, never fail. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. Hallelujah, the Spirit and the Bride. Say come, come out, come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Oh, God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out over my people. Be not partakers of the sin. The sins have reached heaven. God sees our iniquities. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride, say come. Oh, come out, come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come out, come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us, oh, let it turn us back. Come and drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride, say come. The Spirit and the Bride, say come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride, say come. Spirit and the Bride, say come.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson.
rivers and flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from within him. Hallelujah. But my Lord leads me on through him. I must. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, look upon his beautiful face, need to see forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, gaze on past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When it's in school, my Lord, dark may be the night. Hallelujah, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may fix my soul, turn my notes aside, but my Lord goes ahead. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me leave my voice, years all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Many that is low, I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fire. Oh, in the tender hand outstretched, toward the valley, toward the valley, Lord, he's guiding me, I see. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, here to sing forever, of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, years all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then the Lord directs my path, he doth safely keep, and he leads me gently on. Through this world below, he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, look upon his face, here to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, years all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. Is it not wonderful that this journey has an end? You know, we're in a journey. That's the wonderful thing. If you can see the starting point, and if you can see the progress, it's saying we'll meet him on the streets of glory, there to behold his wondrous face. Friend, just as much as you love to be in his presence now, you love his word, imagine when we see him. Imagine when we see him face to face. I always think of that. I say, imagine when you see Jesus himself face to face. Hey, like the songs all say, all the toils of the road will seem nothing when you get to the end of the race. How wonderful the thought. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. Brother Mike, congratulations, brother. How wonderful it is that the Lord delivered the sister and everything went well. Let's open up Luke chapter 10. We'd like to take a Friday night thought here. I know Fridays are never that easy, but may the Lord really help us this evening. Luke chapter 10. Let's take from verse 38 to verse 42. I'm always really amazed at how the Holy Ghost divided up the scriptures. You know, everything it's an amazing thing how everything is in the right place. Nothing is in a certain, no story is put somewhere just for nothing. Everything is for a purpose. You know, the Lord really wants to instruct in everything in His Word. We'll read just the story about Mary and Martha from 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We'll just take our thought from verse 42 there. One thing is needful. Just one thing. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that there's one thing needful. And we've gathered upon this night, Father, for that very purpose, that very cause. May You help us, Lord, just to take Your word upon this night, to place us individually in Your word, that You may see where we stand before You. Father, we thank You for Your word that is good for instruction. We thank You for Your word that is good for correction. We thank You for Your word that is good for doctrine, for reproof. Father, to fully furnish us, that You may be better equipped to serve and to worship You. May You bless Your people upon this night, we pray. Bless each person that has gathered, Lord, to come out on a stormy night. What a wonderful thing to be in Your house. Father, we just want to be like Mary tonight, to sit at Your feet. Father, to dine as Your guests. Lord, that is our petition, to lay our heads upon Your bosom, spiritually speaking. That, Lord, You may minister unto us. May You bless Your word. May You give clarity, Lord. May You give vision and purpose, grace and mercy. Thank You for song worship. Father, praying upon this day for every request and desire, Lord. I'm just praying for the request from Zimbabwe, Lord. Father, for Brother Morandu, his wife, having lost her mother. And Father, I do pray for that sister that, Lord, You'd really strengthen her and encourage her even at this time. And Lord, all the things that take place in the midst of Your bride, Father, amongst Your people, we commit them to You. Father, You are in control because You are the God of circumstance. And we thank You for that, Lord. May You bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, saints. We're just going to take that thought as we do greet you, saints. One thing needful. So I'm going to take it just a bit of a Bible study just on these verses. I really found it very instructive to myself. I think sometimes the best things that you'll ever teach other people are things that helped you yourself. And I think you've got to take things from experience. And you know, sometimes it's just strange the way that things work. But if you look at the story of Mary and Martha, it fits between two stories in the Bible. You'll find the story just immediately before this in chapter 10 is the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, is teaching about good works. He's speaking about that man who helped his brother, who poured in the oil and the wine. You know, a man who went out of his way to help somebody. And then you'll find immediately after this, chapter 11, verse 1, it's Jesus teaching about prayer. Now, this is the great balance in life. And this is maybe the hardest thing to find a balance in your Christian life. And I know that I struggle sometimes with the various demands of life to find this balance. To find the balance between working for the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. That sometimes is the hardest balance to find. And it's so interesting that in between the Good Samaritan, between this Jesus teaching about prayer, He puts the story of Mary and Martha. And here we find exactly the same balance in the lives of these two people. One so cumbered with working and wanting to serve and do all these things, and the other one just wanting to sit at Jesus' feet. Now there's a real instruction there, and I'm sure that you learn it inside of your life as you go. Many times as you're trying to find the right balance, you go too extreme this side and things don't go very well. And then you try to balance things up and you go too far this side and things don't balance themselves up. But there's a certain middle of the road that the prophet spoke about. Then he says, that's the place that you need to be, is to find an equilibrium, a balance inside of your own life. And especially in this kind of an age, like the age we're living in, where there's so much pressure. The prophet says it's such a complex age. He says that we as believers, we seem unsuited to live in this age. Because there's so much pressure on every hand. Pressures on time, pressures on finances, pressures of this, that, and the other. It's such a fast age, so much information, so many things flying around. But it's an age, like the prophet says in the message of his voice, that you hardly ever can hear anybody these days saying, the Lord spoke to me. Now, to hear the voice of the Lord in a time like this, it's a very hard thing. The prophet says it's the same now as it was in the days of 1 Samuel, in the days when Samuel himself was born, when the Lord or word of the Lord was precious. It was rare in those days. And that's exactly what it is today. People know the Bible. They can quote a lot of things from the Bible. People know a lot of things from the message. But for someone to really say, but the Lord spoke to me. Friends, that's what makes all the difference inside of the life of a person. But that's not an easy thing, to get yourself in a condition that the Lord can really speak personally to you. And you find it right throughout the Bible. Now, the prophet speaks so much about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he speaks how much Jesus loved these three people. And you find so many times Jesus would pass through Bethany to their house, because Bethany was not even a mile from Jerusalem. The Bible never speaks of Jesus sleeping in Jerusalem. The only time Jesus spent overnight in Jerusalem was at the Last Supper, when he prayed all night in the Garden of Gethsemane and was arrested, and when he lay in the tomb. Jesus, although he was God, the Bible says, he came to his own. He came to Jerusalem, but there was nowhere in Jerusalem that he could stay. Instead, he would always go from there to Bethany, to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the Bible says that he loved them. And that's why he'd go to visit them. And so regularly, he'd be in that kind of a place. And friends, that's the kind of friendship that you want with Jesus. You want Jesus to feel welcome. That whenever he's passing by, he feels welcome in your house. But in order for that to be like that, there's a price to be paid. Because the prophet says that these same people, when they took a stand for Jesus, the message of the hour in their day, there was a great cost. Because Jesus had a bad name and he had a bad reputation, and the organizations of that day were so much against Jesus. So this was a cost. And when the Bible says there about Martha in verse 38, it says, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So it was her house. You know, the historians, the Jewish people, they say maybe she was married before, and she has, maybe her husband had passed away, and then she took her sister Mary in, and she took Lazarus in. And Lazarus, the prophet says, used to work in the temple. You know, so maybe he was away a lot of the time. But it was Martha was the one that was responsible for this house. And she loved to have Jesus there. And she made it a point to invite Jesus. And Jesus had become so friendly with these three people that whenever he was nearby, he would pass by and stay with them. Friends, that is a wonderful thought, you know, to think of Jesus coming to visit you and to abide in your house. Jesus passing your way and feeling at home. You know, I think it's worth all the sacrifice that you have to make to get all the Hollywood out of your house, to get all of the sin, the leaven out of your house. It's worth it all if Jesus feels at home to come and pass your way. So he had always come past. These were his special friends, the prophet says. Now the Bible actually speaks about that, how much he loved them. You know, he had a special love. It's like when the Bible speaks about John, the beloved disciple. Now Jesus had the 12. But then from the 12, he took the three, Peter, James, and John. And then from the three, he had the one that leant upon his breast, that was John. You know, John was the one, the Bible says, the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved everybody with agape love, with godly love, but filio love. You know, that natural affection, Jesus had filio love, more filio love as a man for certain people than he did for others, because maybe there were certain characteristics that he saw in the lives of people like John that just naturally attracted people. And that's what filial love does. It's that kind of a love. And Jesus loved these three people. He loved Mary, Martha, and he loved Lazarus. And the good thing about them, they were given to hospitality. Now the Bible says you can entertain angels unawares. Now you find people that have got a liberal heart, that are given to hospitality. Imagine Martha invites Jesus to come, and she knows Jesus isn't going to come by himself. He's going to come with all his disciples as well. There's going to be a cost involved here. You know, there's going to be a price to be paid. There's going to be food. There's going to be drink. There's going to be preparation. There's going to be all the things that she's going to have to work at to get things right to make Jesus and his disciples feel at home. But this is one of the investments that you make that you'll never regret. No, to invest your time, to invest your resources, to make your home available for Christ and his people. It's one of the greatest things that you can ever do. And we know it in the story of these same people, that this was a great investment they made, and they reaped the dividends down the way, because Lazarus passed away. And that same Jesus that they entertained, he now revealed himself as the resurrection and the life. And he ministered to their needs. You know, so there's something special about these kinds of people. Don't you love people that have an open heart? No, that have a warm heart, that are just liberal in giving. And no, they open up the house, and it's okay, people are coming to visit. Let people sleep here, there, and everywhere. Now, they're not like the modern-day Laodicea type of people, that even to get a visit to them, you've got to put a specific time, a specific date. You've got to tell people maybe weeks before that you're coming to their house. You know, that's the modern society. You'll go there, you get to somebody's house. Not believers, because it doesn't happen to believers. But you know what it's like with worldly people. You go to their house unexpected, and you can tell that they're not happy that you came. And you come there, and maybe they've got dinner, and they won't give you any dinner. No, they'll take you into the lounge. Now, that's not the kind of people that the Bible believers produce. No, Christians are liberal people. They're free. They desire to entertain. They're given to hospitality. That's a real, real good characteristic. So Martha was one of those kinds of people. Now there was a cost naturally for this entertaining Jesus in her house. And there was a cost to her reputation. There was a cost because Jesus at this time when he came to visit them in Jerusalem, they were plotting his death. Remember afterwards when Lazarus was just raised from the dead, not long after this, those Pharisees and scribes met together to discuss how they could put Lazarus to death. Because his resurrection was such a testimony. You know, so there was a price to be paid here. This wasn't something that was just so easy to do. And friends, that's how the message is getting more and more in this world. Now, with all the things that are taking place, there's a risk attached. You can lose your reputation. Who knows how many people will lose their freedom in the end, before the end, because of this message. Our brothers in Iran, we've already seen that. Now, being separated from their families and put under a death penalty and so forth. Just because they entertain the message of the hour, Jesus in the form of the message of the hour. And Jesus always, in every generation, the word, the anointed word is evilly spoken of. You've got to bear the reproach of the word, the Bible says. You're never going to be such a popular guy to believe the message. You're never going to have the religious will pat you on the back and say you're doing a good thing. They're going to misunderstand. They're going to call it this, that if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call you and I? That's what Jesus said. You know, so Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they didn't mind about that because they love Jesus. They love to have him near. They love to hear him speak. They love to spend time in his presence because they had a revelation. They recognized who this man was. And so Mary, now she has her house. And this is quite a powerful thing, is because this was a house meeting that was taking place. You know, Jesus, he was sitting and he was talking. It says in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus, he wasn't governed by the traditions which we have these days. Some of the greatest of Jesus' preaching was the Sermon on the Mount. On a mountain, he could preach from a boat. Here he is, he's giving a preaching, precious words are coming forth in a house. Just gathering there for a dinner, whatever it was, and Jesus started to fellowship around the word. You know, when I read of that, it reminds me of the Wright's house. When Brother Branham was there speaking of the things that had been taking place, and Sister Hattie was there, and she was sitting and she was soaking it in, just like Mary was sitting and soaking it in. You know, God is not governed by form and by, you know, the traditions that we like to put God in a box and he must work like this, that, and the other. Some of the greatest times, most of the greatest times with Jesus, were not in the synagogue. We're not in recognized places. But wherever he was, there was a blessing. If you just approached him the right way and you had a hungry heart, wherever Jesus was, something good was going to come forth. Whenever he comes, like the prophet says, something good happens. As long as you had the right attitude and you were in friendship with him, something good was always going to take place. And if you think of house meetings in the Bible, now you think of the house of Cornelius, when the Holy Ghost was first poured out upon the Gentiles. It was a house meeting. It was in a house. Now you think of so many things that happened in the Bible. You think of John Mark's house when they were having a prayer meeting. When Peter was in prison and they prayed and the angel went and set Peter free that night. And Peter came and knocked on the door. Now there's so many places. Elizabeth's house, when Mary came there that day and the spirit of prophecy came down in the house. And they were prophesying one to each other, both of them filled with the Spirit, Mary and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is saying, "Whence cometh the mother of my Lord?" And then Mary is saying, "But all nations shall call me blessed." And the things that took place just in a meeting in a house. Friends, that's what it really should be when believers come together. Believers shouldn't be speaking about Samsung and Apple. Believers shouldn't be speaking about what's the best car or politics or the natural things of life. Surely when believers come together, they should be speaking about the word. Amen. Speaking about Jesus. Making Jesus feel at home in that place. And the prophet says that's the reason he doesn't appear to us much these days, because we don't speak about him. He says when they were speaking on the way to Emmaus, the Bible says he drew near. And he says, and that's the reason in the old times, you would find so many times in the Bible, the Old Testament, the Lord would appear to people. He says, because people's minds weren't set on the things of this life as they are now. But people then could meditate upon him. You know, people would fellowship around the word. People would take time to get into this place that Mary got to come and sit at his feet and hear his word. And the prophet says, that's the reason the Lord used to appear to people far more back then than he does now. Because God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't worry about which age you're living in. What time of the day that it is, which day of the week, or which week of the month. It's an attitude and an atmosphere. And the moment someone is willing to create that atmosphere, you know, to take their hearts off the things of the world, to fellowship around the things of God for your day, he'll draw near every time. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what was happening here. Mary had the right attitude. Now she saw that way. The setting may not be that good, but Jesus is here. And Jesus is the anointed word, friends. That's what he is. And he was starting to unfold himself, and he was starting to say what was in his heart. And the Bible says precious words would come forth from his mouth. And Mary, she realized that, and she came now to sit at the feet of Jesus. So she came to sit. Now, there was such a difference here between Mary and Martha. Mary got herself in a condition. She must have been helping Martha before. But she left Martha. She did everything that she needed to do, Mary. And then she says, but Jesus is here. Let me take advantage of this visitation. Because she didn't know when was the next time Jesus was going to pass that way. So she said, the Master is here. Let me get these natural things out of the way as quickly as I can. Let's not fuss about too many of these natural things. I want to get myself to his feet. I want to get myself and sit at his feet and take advantage of this time when Jesus is passing our way. And Martha, though she was a good woman as well, but at this time she got herself too tied up with the cares of this life. Genuine things that she was doing. She was ministering to Jesus. She was ministering to the disciples. She was trying to make things good for them, trying to prepare food, whatever it was. But she got herself in this place that although Jesus was near, although Jesus was right in her house, that visitation of Jesus wasn't doing her much good. But here was her sister, the same visitation, the same time. And you find Mary composes herself. She gets herself quiet. She gets the activities of life out of the way. And she comes now to sit at Jesus' feet. And to sit at somebody's feet in the Bible, the prophet tells us, when the Bible says that Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, it means to be a disciple of somebody. And Mary wanted to be a disciple. She wanted to learn. She wanted to understand what the will of God was. She wanted to know, what is the word going to say to me? And friends, it takes a certain condition for the word to be able to speak personally to you. For the word to be able to minister into your personal situation, it can't be when you're all cumbered about by cares and serving and rushing here and there and things aren't going right and you're in that kind of a mood that it's so easy to get into. No matter how much the anointed word may be right in your midst, imagine, Jesus loves these people. They're his friends. And he has Jesus right in the midst of his friends, but he has this woman, Martha, so caught up, not in the affairs of this life. She's not caught up in sin. She's not caught up in other things. She's caught up in serving the children of God. She's serving. She's ministering to Jesus, ministering to the disciples. But she's so worried about, we need to have another course of the meal, and where's these plates, and where's this, that, and the other, that she gets herself all worked up. And she gets herself so worked up that when she sees her sister sitting at the feet of Jesus, instead of rejoicing that, hey, my sister, look at the fellowship she's having with Jesus, she gets grieved with her sister. And she gets grieved with Jesus. And she comes now to correct the word and say, Master, but how can you let her sit there like that? She should be helping me. You see, it's a very interesting story when you really start to get into it, because these were believers. These were genuine, good people, believers. But the Holy Ghost puts this story exactly in this place to show that you've got to be careful that you keep a balance inside of your life. Because we can sometimes get so caught up with serving the Lord that we don't hear his voice. We get so caught up in doing this and doing that and doing all kinds of business and even spiritual things. But it brings you out of harmony with him. You don't have a harmony with him inside of your soul. But here was Mary. She managed to get herself in a condition. She was in harmony with Jesus. Jesus was in her house and she was in harmony with Jesus. Something good's going to come from that. But here in the same house, the same anointed word, the same Jesus giving a visitation. And he has another very good believer. Martha was a tremendous believer. But she's got herself so caught up in with fussing with the things of life, the domestic issues of the home, and looking after this, that, and the other, that she's not in any harmony with Christ, and she's not in any harmony with her sister. That's a serious thing to think about. Why does the Lord put this in the Bible? It's to teach us a lesson, friends, that you've got to be careful, and more so in these kind of times, when there's so many demands. When there's Facebook and all these things that want to bombard you with information. So many things to distract your mind, to take your thoughts here and take your thoughts there. And you're not settled inside of yourself. You know, you haven't come to the place where you've got quiet and you've got still in your soul. So that he who dwells in your midst can minister grace to you. Can speak personally to you. Can speak of his interest to you and answer your questions and show his will for your life, and that you can come away from that kind of a place and you say, but hey, because friends, when Jesus speaks to you like that, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. The prophet preaches a message, hear his voice. It's a very good message. And he takes so many different examples in the Bible and says, look at Moses, the runaway prophet. He'd got himself all messed up in his life, all messed up in his calling. All he needed to do was to hear his voice. And when the Shekinah was there in the bush and the voice spoke to Moses, it changed his life. It ministered him back into the vision. It put him back into the channel of God's purpose for his life. It was just getting into that place that he could hear that voice. And friends, he speaks of all the different people in the Bible. Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was persecuting the church, and you know, he was doing everything that he could to serve God his own way. Yet he was persecuting the very church of God. What did he need? He needed to hear his voice. When the pillar of fire appeared to him, that light on the way to Damascus, and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That changed the man's life. The man was never the same again. It completely transformed the man's life, hearing the personal voice of Christ speaking to him. He had known the Bible before. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew all the law of Moses. He knew all the doctrines of the Bible. He knew all the history of the Bible. He could have told you all manner of stories. But none of that transformed his life. What transformed his life was the personal voice of Jesus to him. When Jesus spoke to him from the pillar of fire, that transformed the man into Paul, the beloved apostle who was persecuted for the cause of Christ, who established the church, the first church age messenger, who did three missionary journeys and established the faith right throughout the Roman Empire. Yes. It was just the voice of Christ. Hallelujah. Hearing his voice. And this story here shows me that, friends, you can have the anointed word right in your midst and it doesn't do you any good. Amen. It doesn't do you any good if you're not in harmony with him. If you're not in harmony with him, you can have the word right in your house. The word can be on speaking terms with you, being friends with you. Hallelujah. Jesus may love to pass your house. He may love you. But friends, you've got to get yourself in a certain condition and be careful of other conditions. Even as believers. Otherwise, friends, that word, it can just pass your house and pass you by. And it doesn't minister any good to you. And I don't think any of us desire that, friends, because we don't have so much time in this life. No, we don't want to be putting things off always to tomorrow. You know that I'll sort out my life down the way. You know, I'll really serve the Lord the way that I should next year. Let me just finish my studies first. I don't think the Lord's waiting for that, friends. I think he's waiting that when he passes your way, he wants you to lay aside all the business of life, all the washing and all the other things, even your domestic pressures of life. You know, it's a battle, though, friends. It really is. Because you can see it in the lives of good people like this, that they had a battle. Martha had a battle. Although Jesus was right in her house, it wasn't such an easy thing. Now, Mary was a real disciple. Now, look in verse 40. Look how it speaks about it, about Martha and her condition at this time. A genuine believer who's risked so much is a message believer. She's bearing the reproach of Christ. She's invited Christ into her house. She loves having the disciples there. She's willing to pay the price, willing to open her house to believers. But look at the condition she was in, verse 40. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered means to be distracted. It means to be driven about mentally. To be over-occupied or to be too busy about a thing. And she wasn't in sin. It was a good thing. She wanted to give Jesus the best food that he could have. So maybe she brings the first course and gives it to the disciples. And he has Mary helping her and saying, look, Martha, we've got to do these things quickly. Jesus is in there and he's speaking. I want to be in there and I want to listen to him. Let's just give them some simple food. Let's not worry about the dainties and all the unnecessary things. Let's just do what needs to be done and let's consider his feet. And then Martha looks at her and says, hey. And Mary does what she's supposed to, gets everything. So, look, Martha, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Here's the food, here's the drink, here's the knives and forks, here's everything. I'm going in there to sit at his feet. And she goes in there. And Martha comes and serves the food and then says, okay, maybe I need to do something else for him. Maybe they need this, and maybe they need that, and maybe they need something else. And she's cumbered about. She's distracted. Her mind is running. She's got no peace inside of herself. Because the Bible says about her much serving. That word serving is the same word you get the word deacon from. It means to minister. She was so distracted and worn by ministering to Christ and his disciples. Until when Jesus was there, she wasn't benefiting at all. Friends, you've got to be careful of those kind of things. You've got to keep the balance inside of your life. You may have all these ideas of what you want to do for the church, all these ideas of what you want to do for brothers and sisters. But let me tell you one thing, friends. Anything that takes you out of harmony with Christ, don't do it. No matter how good the idea may seem, no matter how noble your purpose may be, no matter how sincere you are in desiring to do all these different things, Jesus, when he was sitting that day at the well, remember the disciples came to him and said, Master, don't you want to eat? We've got you the food. He says, I have meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. Now, Jesus was more interested in the people than the things the people would do for him. That's what he wanted at that time. Now, Martha should have realized at that time, look, I don't need to spend so much time on these secondary things, these unnecessary things. Jesus will be satisfied with what we give him. But the thing that Jesus really wants is he wants me to be there. He wants me to be listening to him. He wants to be speaking to me. That's the greatest gift that I can give to him. The greatest gift you can give to Jesus, it's a spiritual gift. It's to put yourself genuinely as his disciple. To really sit at his feet. To give him an opportunity to minister to you. That's the real thing he wants from your life. But it's so easy to get busy in so many other things. I've got to practice this and I've got to do this and that. Those things are all good. But keep the balance. And that's what this story speaks us about, to us about. Martha couldn't keep the balance. Mary could keep the balance. She did her things and then she realized now it's time for the most important thing. Everything else must be put aside. But Martha, she got herself so cumbered with much serving. She was overoccupied. She was too busy. Until it distracted her. Until her mind was going here and her mind was going there. And friends, people, you come like that to church. And although the word will be going forth, but their mind is here and their mind is there. And they're not settled. It's like the tossed and the troubled sea. And that's why you need a quiet time. And that's why you need to pray before service. And that's why you need to watch yourself on the day when you have services. And the song leaders need to prepare themselves and stay. I like what Brother Will said. He said on service days, we always say we're not going to Tesco. We're not going to go and do the shopping. Because it always gives an opportunity to the enemy to come in to distract him. To bring all these secondary things and unnecessary things. And then you come to the house of the Lord and your mind is here and your mind is there. And although maybe Jesus, because he loves you, you're his friend. He wants to pass your way and speak to you. But your soul isn't in any harmony to hear his voice. It's a sad thing to think about, but we've all done that so many times. That's when I read this story this week, I said, Lord, that's exactly the truth. I said, that's the truth. We can get so cumbered with serving. Not cumbered with sin. Believers don't do that. Not cumbered with affairs of this life. Believers don't do that. But she was cumbered with serving. Serving what? Serving Jesus and his disciples. She got so busy serving Jesus and his disciples that she couldn't hear his voice anymore. She lost the very essence of what it's all about. But Mary, as a disciple, she knew the one thing that was needful. She says, everything else, let it be second. Even if the dishes aren't washed for tonight, it's okay. Jesus is here. Even if maybe we're not going to give dessert and a second dessert, it's okay. Jesus will understand. Because, you know, this is the most important thing, is sitting at his feet. So that he can minister personally to my soul. And friends, that's what makes all the difference in the life of a person. And that is why the devil is going to fight you tooth and nail on that. He's going to do everything that he can. You're going to find the children are going to kick up a fuss. The telephone's going to ring. There's going to be problems at work. Whenever you desire, I need to spend more time with the Lord. Just watch how the enemy realizes the power of a simple life lived in harmony with Christ. That's why he wants to just get us that we're so busy. We can be so occupied and too busy, even in ministering for the things of the Lord. And these were domestic affairs. They were the issues of the home that you were so caught up in. That's why the prophet says in here, his voice says, and you housewives. It says, never let your dishes and never let your ironing and those things come in the way of your time with Christ. It says, you've got to find that time to put away your apron. Shut yourself in and hear his voice. Amen. You've got to hear his voice. To sit at his feet as his disciple. No, to sit at somebody's feet, it speaks of humility. It speaks that you're putting him above you and he's the word. Just by that very attitude of you sitting at his feet, you're saying, I'm giving you preeminence. You the master. You know the way. I need you to instruct me. Like Paul sitting at Gamaliel's feet. And Mary came and sat at Jesus' feet. Friends, what a wonderful place to be. That when Jesus is anointed like that, and the words of life are coming forth, and she's brought herself from all the hustle and bustle of life, and she's brought herself to the place that she's sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus is ministering. And the Bible says, and she was receiving his word. She was soaking in that word. She was soaking in that word. How necessary that is. Like I say, Martha, there was much to commend her. No, she had done a lot here, right in the story, ministering to the disciples and all that. But the great thing, she was out of harmony now. Her soul wasn't in harmony with Christ. And her soul wasn't in harmony with her sister. It's a sad thing. We need to check our lives, friends. We need to take stock of anything that takes us out of harmony with Christ. What takes you out of harmony with Christ? What is it? Is it your next door neighbor? Don't fellowship with that person anymore. And whatever it is, whatever, no matter how harmless it may seem, but if it takes you out of harmony with Christ, friends, it's not worth it. No matter how much it pays, no matter what the future promise may be, but to a believer, the most important thing is you want your soul to be in harmony with Christ. It's the only thing that satisfies. That's the only thing that's needful, is for your soul to be receiving His word, for you to be seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And it's not only things that take you out of harmony with Him, but things that take you out of harmony with your brethren. Because her much servant took out of harmony with her sister. She was grieved with her sister. When she saw her sister sitting at the feet of Jesus and Jesus speaking personally to the soul of her sister, she wasn't happy. Friends, that's not a nice condition to be in. When you see another believer going on and they're calling, you see their face shining with the glory of God, and it grieves you inside of yourself. Friends, it means there's something wrong in your experience at that time. She should have been encouraging her sister. She should have been coming and saying, Mary, it's good. You found the right way. Let me learn from you. Okay, you sit there for a while. Let me take care of the rest of the things. But please, I also need my time here. I need to sit at His feet. I need to spend time in His presence as well. But she was out of harmony. She didn't have, imagine, Jesus Himself. He's the Prince of Peace. She had the Prince of Peace sitting in her house, but she didn't have peace inside of her heart. That's a serious thing. That is, friends, living so far below our privileges. She had the Prince of Peace as her friend. She had the Prince of Peace loving her. She had the Prince of Peace making a personal visitation to visit their house. And she still didn't have peace in her heart. Although he was sitting right there. Friends, that's a serious thing to think about. But how many times are we tossed in our hearts? That's why Jesus had to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. You'll find rest for your soul. That's where this thought came to me. On Wednesday night, I went with Brother Brian and Sister Deirdre once again to that Pentecostal fellowship where they live. And I went and I spoke to the man that was very good. But when that man was preaching, he said something so interesting. He says, sometimes, he says, my wife, she looks at me, says, and she'll see me struggling before the service, trying to find the word of God, you know, getting myself in all kinds of a condition, trying to find God's thoughts of what I should say. And he says, and many times she comes to me and she says, what are you doing? Christ's yoke is easy and His burden is light. Just take advantage of His grace. And he says, and then I look back and I say, but what am I doing? Why am I thinking I've got to struggle and strive and toil? Friends, if you're struggling and striving and toiling, we don't have His yoke upon us. Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We're bearing burdens that He never put on us. He never put this burden on Martha. He never told her you need to do these kind of things. If she would have gone to Him and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He would have said, Martha, leave those things. This food you've got just more than sufficient. Come and sit at my feet. That's what he would have told her. But she was taking burdens on herself, as well intentioned as they were, as sincere as she was. Although her motive and objective were pure and were exactly in line. There's nothing sinful what she was doing. But friend, she was making a mistake. She was taking burdens on her that were too much for her to bear. And friends, if you've got things inside of your life that are too much for you to bear, God never put those in your life. You've taken those burdens upon yourself. You've taken it upon yourself. That's why it's too heavy. The Bible says He'll never put upon you something that's more than you're able to bear. But we sometimes want to load ourselves down, even with serving and doing so many things. And friends, we don't have the balance in our lives anymore. It's all giving and giving and giving. And but when's the receiving? When is it going to be soaking in at His feet, drawing from Him and letting Him minister to us? Because you can never be effective ministering to somebody until first you spend time with Him ministering to you. And that's why this story is between the Good Samaritan, which is ministering to others, and Christ teaching about prayer, which is Him ministering to you. And you've got to find the balance. And Mary found the balance. She did what needed to be done, and she came and sat at His feet and said, this is the most important thing now. For me to be effective in what I do, I'm going to have to spend time with Him. While He's near, while He's passing by, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass. I'm going to take maximum. I'm going to soak in all that I can. I'm going to ask Him every question that He'll answer. I'm going to listen to everything that He says. And friends, it made a big difference inside of her life. But this thing here about the burdens that we bear. Now, Martha did do one thing right. She was burdened. And she took the burdens to Jesus. And she came to Jesus and said, Master, don't you care about me? You see, she had got so out of harmony with the word that she thought that Jesus didn't really care about her. She misunderstood Jesus' feelings for her. She said, Master, don't you care for me? And look at all this burden that I've got inside of my life. Look at all these things. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Don't you care? How can you let my sister sit there? Have you never been there? I've been there. Hallelujah. The prophet got there. The prophet speaks of many people who got there. He says, you take too much upon yourself. And you don't spend enough time in his presence. You don't get enough time to rest. He says, be careful. You'll burn yourself out. You burn yourself out. You get all distracted in your mind. You run yourself down in your health because you're bearing burdens that he never put on you to bear. Amen. You've got to find the balance, friends. If you want to be effective, if you want to stay fresh, if you want to stay in fellowship with him so that you can fellowship the things that should be fellowshiped with his people, it's finding this balance. This is the key. And the devil's going to try to push us this side and push us that side. And he really does play with us on those things. But friends, it's so important to find this balance inside of your life. So she comes and she brings this burden to Jesus. Now, the word is always going to discern things right. She comes to Jesus and she thinks, yes, Jesus is going to stick up for me. He's going to tell Mary, how can you leave your sister to serve like that? And she thinks Jesus is going to pat me on the back and say, it's good, sister. It's good for you to serve like that. But what does Jesus do? Jesus corrects her and commends her sister and says, Martha. And it's interesting. Look how the Bible says it there in verse 41. Verse 40, let's read it just to see what she says to the word, Jesus himself. And Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You know, we get ourselves too burdened, too distracted, and we end up thinking the Lord doesn't care. But can't the Lord see how tired I am? Lord, can't you see the burdens I'm bearing? And the Lord says, I so care, but you're not listening to me. You're not giving me time. You're not my disciple at this time. You're too busy to be my disciple. Lay those things aside for a while and come and sit at my feet and let me tell you the things that are needful. Let me lay the correct burdens upon you inside of your life. And let me tell you some of those burdens, it wasn't me that put them upon you. Lay those burdens aside. Cast those burdens upon me. So she comes, do you not care? And then she wants to answer. She doesn't ask the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not in a very good condition here. Lord, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, my mind is going here and there. I'm sorry for being in this condition. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And then for Jesus to minister her back into the right condition. She comes, Master, don't you care? Tell my sister to come and help me. And friends, the moment that you go into the Lord and you're telling him what he's supposed to do, that shows you're not in harmony with him. You're not in the spirit of discipleship. You're not in a teachable spirit. You're not in a place that he can mold you and he can make you and he can show you the way out of that situation. And she comes in this condition and she says, bid her therefore that she help me. In verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. No, it wasn't enough for him just to call her once. When he just said Martha, you could see her mind is still distracted. He'll say, Martha. Sometimes the Lord has to speak to us more than once, you know, to get us out of that thought that we're in, to get us out of that condition. And he says, Wilmore, pay attention to what I'm telling you. Listen now. Your mind is running here and there. Listen what I'm saying to you. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Friends, this age, how many of us as believers, we find ourselves guilty of that? We're careful, we're full of care, and we're troubled about many. Yet Jesus is there. Here's Jesus sitting right there, the answer to every situation. The Prince of Peace, the Anointed One, the power of deliverance, the power of the resurrection. Everything that she needed was there. And he was their friend, and he loved them, and he had come to their house. But she'd got herself into such a condition that it didn't mean anything to her at that time. It wasn't doing her any good. It was just making her more irritated and more frustrated the longer that the meeting went. Verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There's just one thing needful. And when they came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do? This, that, and the other, he says, there's one thing you need to do. That's seek first the kingdom of God. He says, the Gentiles seek after many things. They're worrying about what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we put on and what about tomorrow? We're taking care about tomorrow. And Jesus said, there's only one thing needful. That's to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That's all you've got to do. Everything else will take care of itself. And Mary was seeking the kingdom because here was the king of the kingdom. And she came to sit at the feet of the king. She knew there's only one thing I need here. I just need harmony with the king. I just need to wait upon him. And I've just got in my notes here about how she was so irritated with her sister. You know? She wasn't happy with her sister. Imagine though her sister may have been so shining with the goodness of God. That's how you always know you're really out of harmony. Because when you see another believer doing well, you're not happy about it. You'd always find something to say about that person. Did you see how they dressed? Or, you know, did you see how that person behaved? That's just a reaction of being in a condition that you're not in the same condition as them. You know, it reminds me of David. I've spoken of it before when he came to the battlefield and there was Goliath. And David was in harmony with God. Amen. He was in harmony with God. Amen. And he came and in 2 Samuel it says, 1 Samuel 17, it says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, 1 Samuel 17:28, if you want to put it on the screen, bro. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. David was saying, but what will the king do to the man who kills this Goliath? He says, he'll allow him to marry his daughter, and his family will be free of the taxes. And David says, but this is an uncircumcised Philistine. And his brother hears him. This man walking right in harmony with God, a real disciple. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of your heart. For thou art come down that you may see the battle. Friends, have you never been like that? That somebody has really misunderstood you, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, that all you wanted to do is serve the Lord. And the person gets grieved with you because you're walking in harmony with God. And or you get grieved with other people because you're not there. You know, that is a manifestation inside of your soul of a thirst. You want to be like that and you're frustrated with yourself that you're not like that. And some temperaments more easily speak it out than others. Other people are able to contain it at that time, but inside of themselves they won't be happy. Other people, they're not able to control it and they say things that they shouldn't say at that kind of a time. Like Eliab saying that to David. David wasn't being naughty. He had been sent by his father to bring food to his brethren. But here was his brother Eliab. He was in the service of the Lord, but he was out of harmony with the Lord. He was right amongst the brethren at the front line, but he's out of harmony with God. And here comes someone who's been spending time in the green pastures and the still waters, friends. Somebody who's got in harmony with God. And he knows what God wants done. And when this young man comes up in harmony with God, he meets his brother who's not in harmony with God. And it's exactly the same as Mary and Martha. One in harmony and one out of harmony. And that's all that's going to cause a conflict. But David was wise that he controlled himself. Verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There was a cause. There was a great cause that he had been sent there for. But he knew this isn't the battle that I need to fight. This is going to disturb my harmony. Yeah. This isn't the reason that I came to contend with my brother. I came to contend with the powers of darkness. You know, he knew who his enemy was. You know, and I thought also of David and his wife Michelle. Remember in the Bible. If you put on there 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, please. I like the story so well. Look at this. It's a sad story. The ark is coming back. The word is coming back into its dwelling place. Israel hasn't had the ark. They haven't had the mercy seat. They haven't been inquiring of the Lord. And David says, let's bring back the ark. And they're bringing it back. And the Bible says, verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Verse 20. Look what happens. Verse 20, bro. Then David returned to bless his household. He's so blessed, having seen the grace of God. He's in tune with God. He's been dancing before the Lord. He comes home. And he wants to bless his household, bring the same blessing to his children and his family. And David returned to bless his household, and Michelle, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. And she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants. As one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Friends, that's a sad condition to be in. When the heaven is rejoicing, when the children of God are rejoicing, and David in harmony with God is rejoicing, and here's somebody, a believer, who is not rejoicing. They're not in harmony. And David said unto Michelle, verse 21, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. Verse 22. And I will yet be more vile than this, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, and of them I shall be had in honor. And now watch the repercussions. Verse 23. Therefore Michelle, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. She never brought forth fruit. Imagine, married to David, a man after God's own heart, but she doesn't bring forth the fruit because of that attitude that she had. When the man was in harmony with God, and she wasn't in harmony with God. And she was grieved because the man was in harmony with God. And he was dancing before the Lord. Friends, it's a serious thing to think about. But none of us are guiltless. I'm guilty of that. I've been like that before. I've been like it when I haven't been in harmony with God. But at those kind of times, the best thing to do is don't speak. You know, stay. Get yourself shut in with the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want the Spirit upon me. I don't want criticism upon me. I don't want to look at my brothers and sisters always negative. Now, yesterday, we had a management course at work, and it was very interesting. I love those courses because you can apply them spiritually. And they were showing about, it was a course on team dynamics, about building a team. And the man was showing that there's four different players in any organization. Four P's, he said. The first one, the passenger. He says, that's a person who just comes to work and they cruise. You know, you don't really know what they're doing. They just want their paycheck end of the month. They're cruising along. He says, the next one is the protester. That's the critic. No matter what you do, the person's never happy. And you've got to be careful because the protester will go and speak to other people and make them protesters as well. He says, and the third kind of a person you have is the prisoner. They're the ones who, they do want to be there, but they have to be there. They can't get a job somewhere else. You know, they have to pay the mortgage. But if they could, they don't want to be there. They're a prisoner. He says, and the final type is the player. That's the one that you want. That's the real person who's together with you. And he says, I'm going to show you in this course how to turn the protesters into players. How to turn the passengers into players. But he says the prisoners, I've got to be honest, they're dead wood. The best thing, you just use performance analysis and get the people out of the company. He says, because you never resurrect a prisoner. But it was interesting. When I found out, I said, the protester, that kind of a person that no matter what's done, they're never happy. And the problem with protesters, they can never just keep it to themselves. They always want to make disciples unto themselves. You know, if they find just a willing ear, somebody maybe who's young, who doesn't understand, they want to say a lot of things like that. And I said, no, Lord, I don't want to be a protester. You know? I don't want to be a passenger in the kingdom of God. I want to be a player. Amen. I want to play my part. I want to be in the position that I'm supposed to be in. But this girl, Michelle, she was a protester. So Jesus says, one thing is needful. Now, Jesus commends Mary. Martha never expected that. And the thing is, she comes, and how does she say to Jesus? Says, tell my sister. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen the right part. Then he calls her by name. Friends, that is a wonderful thing to do. Now, the way that Jesus would speak and the way that Jesus could diffuse the situation, he really was the master in these kind of things. But he answers Martha in her language. You know, when I went and read on this, when he says, Mary has chosen that which is needful. It actually means she's chosen the choice part. Like if you were making a banquet, you would give the choice part, the best part of the food to the honored guest. And his answer is, look, she's chosen the thing which is the most important. She's chosen the choice part. And Jesus says, it'll never be taken away. Now think of this as we come to a close. Sitting at Jesus' feet, it did a lot for Mary. Friends, you don't realize how effective it is. You don't realize what it is when you sit at his feet like that. When you spend time inside of his presence. It's never in vain. It's always going to produce something. And Jesus says, this which Mary has chosen is never going to be taken away from her. It's never going to be taken away from her. Look in John chapter 11. Look at the next time that we find Mary in the Bible. It's at the death of Lazarus. Now you sit at his feet long enough, friends, and you get used to the feet of Jesus, it's going to be a place that you're always going to want to go. No matter what happens, no matter the crisis that may come in life, once a person has found their way to the feet of Jesus, once a person has realized the preciousness of bringing yourself to that place, it doesn't matter what the devil does, you know, that's the place that you want to be. So we know the story how they call for Jesus and he doesn't come and they get all disappointed and the prophet says all of their old church friends are coming to them and saying, we told you, you shouldn't have followed that message. Because that man, that healer that was with you, who said he's the Messiah, just when you needed him most, he wasn't there at the time that you needed him. And the prophet says they were sitting there with their black sackcloth. He says it was a dark time. It was really a dark time. And Lazarus, when he passes away, they put him in the tomb. They wait for the fourth day. John chapter 11, verse 28. And when she had so said, this is Martha, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Friends. She knew the Master's here again. That's all that I need. I know the blessedness of being at his feet. And when she had so said, verse 29, and as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. I love that, friends. She fell, and though there was dust, though whatever it was, but she says, the only place I need to be at his feet. She remembered times at his feet before. She remembered the blessedness when she was soaking in the teaching, soaking in the revelation, soaking in the divine instruction, soaking in, but she knew now, I need a different kind of help. I need strength now. I need support. I need grace in this situation. But she knew where she'd find it. She found it in the same place that she had found help before. And she went and cast himself down at his feet. It says, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And the prophet says, she called him Lord. Said she had a right to come and upbraid him. The prophet says, correct him. And said, but why didn't you come? But friends, once you spent enough time at his feet, you know that he knows better. You may not understand it, but you know that he knows what he's doing. And she came and she fell at his feet and she said, Lord. And what did he do? All that she'd been soaking in, all that she'd been soaking in, when that particular anointing came to meet this particular need, it manifested itself in the power of the resurrection. And Jesus now, anointed by the power of the resurrection, calls her brother out of the tomb. Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus does come forth. And straight away it takes us to John chapter 12. It speaks about now the feast which they had after Lazarus had passed away. And it says in verse 1, chapter 12, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was that had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Some things never change, friends. Yes, Martha serving again. But I'm sure she's learned her lessons from the past. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. I love that. She knew the preciousness of his feet, being at his feet. She knew this is the place that I want to be. And somehow she enters into a real harmony with Jesus, because Jesus says she's anointed me for my burial. And she comes and she anoints his feet. And it says, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Ah, friends, this was someone who was in harmony with Jesus. Now she had sat long enough at his feet. She had sat long enough under the influence of his divine instruction, his personal speaking to her, that she would never be the same. She had heard that voice, and now it was time to put those things into practice. So what do we see from here? We see genuine service. Look, she first sits at the feet of Jesus. She spends time with Jesus. Then she goes and puts that into practice. She soaks it in at the feet of Jesus. And then when it's time now to serve him, there she is at the right time, pouring out that which is ministered to her. And that's what real service is. And that is why, friends, you know what it's like. I'm sure Brother Maxwell knows it. Like we all know in whatever capacity that we are, that it's such an easy thing to push yourself too far in service until you haven't soaked enough in, until there's not enough to give out. It's a difficult position to be in. And even a song leader, even whatever ministry, a husband, a wife, Sunday school teacher, you've got to be soaking it in first. You've got to be sitting there soaking it in. And then when the time comes, there was a reason that he allowed you to soak it in. Just when the time comes, you go and you pour it out. I remember when you first came to Ireland in 2000 then, it was just me and Brother David and Brother Jose. And I was living with my brother up in Belfast, and I didn't know one single person apart from my brother. And I didn't want to disturb him. I was living in his house. I was working for him, but I didn't want to disturb him. So every evening I'd go, I'd take my Walkman, I'd take my cassettes, and I'd go down to the river. And I would spend time in prayer, and I'd listen to my messages, and I would come back. And I'd come back, and it would be quite late. And I'd get up in the morning, I'd listen to my messages again. And I had such a time for several months of just having such a blessed time of soaking in the Word. And I used to come down, and we used to meet Brother Jose and Brother David on a Saturday afternoon. And I said it one day to Brother David. I said, Brother David, there's a reason for this. I said, for the Lord to give you an opportunity to set you aside for a while so that you can really just soak things in when you're having such a wonderful fellowship with the Lord. I said, there's going to have to come a time to pour this out in some kind of a way. And that's when the Lord opened things up when we started church down here. And all of a sudden you find, but the Lord knows what he's doing. He wants to put you aside for a while to soak it in. And if you soak it in like Mary, there's going to come a time that you're going to go and pour it out. But you've got to soak it in first before you pour it out. And friends, that's what made her so effective in her service when she came and poured out from the alabaster box and offered exactly an appropriate gift at that time. She'd been sitting in his presence and soaking it in until she came into harmony with him. And she knew then, without even maybe thinking about it, she knew exactly the service that needed to be offered at that time. And yet look at the atmosphere once again, here with the rest of the disciples sitting there. And she comes and pours it out on the other disciples. They get grieved with her. These disciples that are supposed to be in harmony with Jesus. And Jesus is so caught up. It's like it's only him and her in the room at that time now. And she's washing his feet and drying them with her hair and anointing him. And the disciples, it says in the next verse, they were grieved. It says, but what a waste this is. We could have sold this ointment, given it to the poor. It's a sad condition to be in, friends. When you see somebody pouring themselves out for the Lord, and yet inside of yourself you're grieved and say, ah, this is a waste. What a pity that it is. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus didn't see it like that. Jesus says, wheresoever this gospel is preached, this will be mentioned as a memorial. Because she's done all that she can. She's done all that she can. And I think, friends, when you're speaking about bearing too many burdens, I think that's a good verse to memorize. All he wants us to do is all that we can. He'll never put upon us more than we're supposed to do, or more than that we're supposed to bear. She's done all that we can. Just in closing, That's why she had the right balance. First was receiving before there was giving. It's like there's got to be praying before there's working. It's got to be like that. You've got to look heavenward first. Like when the prophet speaks about anyone who has any ministry, it's an intercessor. You have to stand in the gap. It's an intermediary because you've got to look to God on behalf of the people. And then you've got to look to the people on behalf of God. And it's that standing in the gap. And it's keeping that balance, friends. Drawing from heaven so that you can be effective on earth. And I found this is the hardest balance to keep. It's the hardest balance to keep. When you have to work, like Brother Willen knows about it. You got to work. You got to do different things. You got your family. You got so many different other things in life. You have to have sufficient quality time in the presence of Christ to be able to draw something from heaven. To be able to soak something in so that you can go and be effective in whatever the Lord wants you to do. That's the greatest battle. And I'm sure every single one of us will agree the same. But what a difference it makes when you have time with Him. What a difference, because it makes it effective. Now, to finish with a thought about Martha. Martha, to me, when I read about it, I said she's like many message believers that you come in contact with. When she first met Jesus, how she loved Him. She rejoiced. She wanted Jesus in her home. She invited Him to come. And then Jesus came to her home. And I'm sure when He first arrived, she was so happy. But after a while, she got so cumbered with serving. She took so much upon herself that in the end, having Jesus there, it was a burden to her. It became a burden. Serving and ministering to Jesus and His people, instead of being a joy, it became a burden to her. That's what it was to Martha. It was a burden in the end. It was distracting her. It was making her frustrated. It was making her feel, please, I don't want it to be like this. You meet many people like that. That when you lose the original love, you lose the original joy. And many times the reason is you're taking things upon yourself that the Lord never put upon you. You're overloading yourself with things that the Lord never overloaded you with. It's like one man said, it's like a camel. Imagine a camel. It's loaded up with all good things, with spices and foods and all precious things. And it's carrying those things all the time. But it just eats the prickly cactuses and things like that. It's carrying things, but it's not enjoying the benefit of the things that it's carrying. And friends, let's be careful in our service for the Lord that we don't get like that. That we're not speaking all wonderful things about the peace of Christ and resting in His presence and that, but we're not experiencing it ourselves. We're not partaking of the very things that we're bearing and other people are benefiting from. Make sure you benefit from those things yourself. Because you benefit from them and you're going to be effective in ministering other people into them. But you got to get it right first. You know, she got so busy thinking about what she could do for Christ that she totally forgot about what Christ could do for her. It can be like that. We want to be doing this for the Lord, do that for the Lord, and we forget about what the Lord wants to do for us. We get so busy wanting to minister for the Lord, be in His service, do this, that, and the other, that we don't give Him an opportunity to minister to us, to reveal to us what He really thinks about us. And that's when we start to lose the joy. And that's when the burden is no longer light. And that's when His yoke is no longer easy. And that's a sure sign, friends, that this balance that we're speaking about, we haven't got the right balance in our life. The moment the burden of this message becomes heavy for you. You know, I find I spoke to a brother in Northern Ireland just a couple of weeks back, and he was very honest with me. You know, and he said, brother, he said, I've heard it many times from believers. And he said, brother, he says, you know, when I was in the denomination, it was like we used to love Jesus. He says, but since I came in the message, it's like a burden always being put upon me. He was a young believer. And I said, brother, that's a pity to hear that. But it can be like that. I once went to a house meeting there and I spoke about, you know, the shining of the face of Moses. And one brother came to me, Brother Davey Greer, and he said to me, I said, brother, we used to hear those kind of things in the denomination, but we don't hear those kind of messages anymore. Now those things, and I said to him, hey, it's... We can lose sight of the essence of it, friends. The prophet says that thing that puts the cream in life. He says that divine love. You know, that personal something when you have personal time with Christ and He speaks personally to your soul. Friends, don't let anything else, no matter what it is, No matter how sincere you are, they start to weigh people down with other things so much so that they lose sight of the one thing that is needful. The one thing that is needful is to sit at his feet. The one thing that is needful is personal time with him. The one thing that is needful is communion with your soul and his, to come into a harmony, to come into a place of rest, so that you can take that yoke that he puts upon you and bear that burden. And you're going to find that it's not heavy. Amen. I remember Brother Donnie Reagan speaking about that, about bearing his yoke. It was very good. And he says, you know, with that yoke, that ox at first, it doesn't want to put on that yoke. It's not accustomed to the yoke, like the Bible says. He says, but you know, this yoke as a believer, he says, when the Lord comes to put that yoke upon you, and he says, okay, I want you to do something for me. He says, he puts that yoke upon you, but you're always yoked with somebody else. You'd never just be one beast. You'd always yoke in the Bible. There's at least two or teams in twos. And Brother Donnie Reagan says that, he says, when that yoke is put upon you and you're starting to feel, but hey, I don't think this is going to be easy. He says, then you look up on the side and you see, who am I with in the yoke? And you find it's Jesus. Because it's his yoke that you're bearing. He's going to be with you. And I think that's the important thing to realize, friends. In all of our serving, in all that we do, we're doing it for him. And we can only be effective when you do it with him. When we're in harmony with him. When we give him time and opportunity. Let's just read Matthew 11, 28 and 30, that verse. Matthew 11, verse 28. We know the verse very well. But maybe it's a good invitation this evening. Come unto me. That's a personal pronoun, friends. Come unto me. Friends, I've had it many times. You read the Bible. You read the message, but you're not coming unto him. You know, you're reading. It's okay. You're getting knowledge. You're getting all these kind of things, but it's not ministering to the soul. It's come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Friends, there's nothing as refreshing as learning about Jesus. Because you'll have all these thoughts the devil tells you about what God expects of you and what God thinks about you. When you start learning about Jesus, you say, but no, this is what Jesus really thinks about me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's stand, friends. Let's just come to a time of worship. Just ask yourself that question. Is his yoke easy at this time? Is his burden light? And if not, friends, it's time to go back to his feet once again and let him minister to you and bring you back into harmony with him.
Amen.
To Jesus I surrender, to him I flee. I will live love and trust in him, his presence daily.
I surrender.
I bow. forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender, oh, my Lord.
Sing about the prisoner's chains, friends. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name. There's something about worship. There's something about drawing nigh to Him. There's deliverance in that. There's healing, as Paul and Silas found out. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night. And in their pain began to sing. Oh, they began to sing.
Their chains were loose.
Oh, their chains were loose.
And they were free.
I bless your name, I bless
your name.
Oh,
I bless your name.
I give you honor. I give you praise. You are, the Lord.
The truth. I bless your name.
Some midnight hour,
if you should find
you in a place in your mind, reach out.
So if you find
that in your life you in the midst of time so high, reach out, my faith.
Two heights I know.
I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the Lord.
The truth, the way.
The truth and the way.
Your name.
Oh, we bless you, Lord.
I bless your name.
Let's sing one more sense. Let's sing about walking in the footsteps of Elohim. We just want to walk in harmony with Him. I'm sure that's your desire as well.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the highest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
Oh, there's a great portion of heaven
is waiting for you because of what you've decided. That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy
the angel told to his great messenger.
Hallelujah.
That is what will produce
a great victory
in this life divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to
end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. My love will live in me. Oh, this path has many trials.
This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit will lead us
to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining to walk in this path.
We can hear the chariots
of our beloved one coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
Let's bow our heads, saints. If you have a need before the Lord, if you just want to raise your hand. We just asked Brother Vlad this evening to close for us. Let's remember Brother Francois. He's gone to Belgium for the weekend. Let's pray the Lord's blessing upon him. In the beginning Amen. Of the service, I was praying for Brother Morandu, the one minister in Zimbabwe. His wife lost her mother and father, so I got a message saying, please, if you could remember them in prayers. We just asked the brother, though you may not know her, but the Lord knows her. And I do believe that the Holy Ghost can lead a person to pray even for somebody that you don't know. So we do want to ask our brother just to commit that sister, very painful time for her in prayer at this time, a difficult time in life. And whatever else our requests, may the Lord grant us traveling mercies. May the Lord grant grace this weekend. May the Lord bless and let us depart with Amen. His blessing, we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Just at the end of this service, O Lord, yes, Lord. We once more want to think about your words. Lord. Like you came in very dark time.
Amen, Lord.
And just, O Lord, Mary and Martha, they found you there, O Lord.
Amen, Lord.
When it was so dark, O Lord.
Amen.
Because you never, never forget about
Amen.
Us, O Lord.
Amen.
We are going through many things, O Lord. Just help us Amen. To focus in right things, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us to just, O Lord, forget about everything.
Amen.
Just focus our mind on you.
Amen.
Spend time with you, O Lord. Help us.
Yes,
because we see that time is really dark, O Lord.
Amen.
Around us, O Lord. Just come and remind us once again, O Lord, Amen. That we should do right thing, O Lord. Hallelujah. Forgive our sins, trespasses, Amen. O Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever yes, we do, O Lord, help Amen. Us, yes, even Lord. In our homes, O Lord, when we try to bring our children to know you, O Lord.
Amen.
Or we want to ask you to come and Amen. Reveal yourself, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Reveal yourself once more even to us more, Lord. Amen. That you will be more precious, O Lord.
Amen.
Even on our journey, O Lord. Yes, we want Lord. To ask even for that sister, O Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Just you come and minister, O Lord.
Please, Lord. Yes.
We saw you in Bible that you came and minister Martha and Mary,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord. Yes,
we want
Lord.
To ask, O Lord, Please, come. In special way, minister Amen. For that sister, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Zimbabwe,
yes,
maybe we don't know you,
yes,
her,
Lord.
O Lord, but you know her, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You know everything because
Amen.
You never forget about
yes,
everything,
Lord.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You know even about our hair we lost today, O Lord.
Amen.
You know
yes,
that
Lord.
Every hair has something inside, some small hole we don't know, but you know everything, O Lord.
Amen, Lord. Yes.
O Lord, we just lifting our hands
Amen.
Before you.
Yes, Lord.
Everything what we have, what we are, O Lord.
Yes. Lord.
We are bringing ourselves on that altar, Lord. Come
yes, Lord.
And you serve us. Even we depart from this place,
Amen,
O Lord.
Lord.
Speak to us.
Yes, Lord.
In quietness of night, O Lord.
Amen.
When
yes,
we will
Lord.
Take our rest, O Lord. Speak
Amen.
To us. Be with us, O Lord.
Amen.
Speak to us those important things, O Lord.
Amen.
About our life, O Lord. What we should do in these times, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
O
yes, Lord.
Lord. We just want to humble ourselves in
yes,
this
Lord.
Time.
Amen.
We are so thankful even for your precious servant. He came.
Amen.
Laid aside everything just to oh, serve us with your word.
Oh
Lord, restore his strength.
Please, Lord.
Restore his inspiration,
Amen.
O Lord. You are our inspiration, O Lord.
Amen.
We call
Amen.
Your name, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Even
yes, Lord.
Be with us.
Amen.
Be with us when we depart from this place.
Please,
we
Lord.
Ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Since this is sing that song as we dismiss turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes.
Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see.
Oh, you see,
there's a light for a look on the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
Turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes.
Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, through death unto life
everlasting
he passed, and we follow him there.
Follow him there.
Over us sin no more has dominion.
Turn your eyes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes.
of the earth
will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell.
Turn your eyes,
turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes, look full in His wonderful face. Of the earth will go straight.